Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Detention Incident to Search Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 1, 2012, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Bailey v. United States. The question in this case is whether, under the court's 1981 decision in Michigan v. Summers, police officers may detain an individual incident to the execution of a search warrant when the individual has left the immediate vicinity of the premises before the execution of the warrant. To discuss the case, we have Stephen Henderson, who is a professor of law at the University of Oklahoma College of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Henderson.
Hello, I'm Stephen Henderson, a professor at the University of Oklahoma College of Law, here to discuss the pending Supreme Court case of Bailey versus United States. Bailey concerns the ability of police to detain persons during the execution of a warrant-based home search, and is an interesting case. On the one hand, it's easy to understand, and perhaps easy to formulate an initial opinion regarding what should be the rule. On the other, it's also pretty easy to be convinced of the other side. The reason is probably because Bailey involves a categorical or bright-line rule, and such rules by nature are always over- or under-inclusive. And as it turns out, this one is both, a point I will return to shortly. So no matter which rule you pick, there are going to be particular facts for which that rule gets it wrong. Let's start with the facts of this case. In the late afternoon or early evening, police in Suffolk County, New York, received a tip from a confidential informant. According to that tip, a heavyset black male with short hair, nicknamed Polo, lived in a certain home where he illegally possessed a handgun. Shortly before 8:45 p.m., two officers placed that home under surveillance, the goal being to know whether the home was occupied, and ideally by how many persons. At 8:45 p.m., an officer obtained a warrant to search the home for the gun. An hour later, at 9:56 p.m., as the search team was assembling nearby, officers observed two men leaving the home and the property. The appearance of both was consistent with the informant's vague description of Polo. Although there's no indication that these two individuals, or anyone else associated with the home, knew of the impending search, the officers followed as these two departed in a vehicle and stopped that vehicle about a mile from the home, meaning about 5 minutes after they had left that home. The officers informed the two that they were being detained pursuant to a search of the home, placed the men in handcuffs, and returned them to the home. By the time they arrived, which was no more than 15 minutes from the time the two men had voluntarily left, the search had not only commenced, but the search team had found a gun and drugs in the apartment. Thus, the two men, one of whom is our petitioner Bailey, were placed under arrest. The district court refused to suppress any evidence, and the Second Circuit agreed. Okay, what is the law? According to Michigan v. Summers, a warrant to search a home for contraband implicitly authorizes the detention of the occupants of that home during the execution of that search. Summers was decided in 1981, and at least two opinions since, Mueller v. Mena in 2005 and Los Angeles County v. Rattell in 2007, the court has reiterated this holding and indeed permitted police very considerable discretion in the manner of this detention. So had Bailey never left the house, but instead was found inside it when the police executed the warrant, there's no question that he could be detained for the duration of the search. In fact, in Summers itself, the defendant was detained as he was walking down the front steps of the home. So had the two officers immediately placed Bailey and his companion in handcuffs, a manner of detention permitted by Mena, we'd have no case. So why didn't the police do just that, detain Bailey and his companion as they left the home? Proffered justification is one that the court gives great credence, and that's officer safety. Were the officers to move in before the execution team was ready, it might tip off anyone remaining inside the home and thereby jeopardize the efficacy of the search or the officer's safety. And we all care about officer safety. But the question is this, is there any need to detain those persons? And does that need justify the significant seizure of their persons? If not, then police should just let them on their way. Bailey is very ably represented by a team from Williams and Connolly that includes two former Supreme Court clerks. The counsel of record chalked up his 12th Supreme Court oral argument in this case, one of the former being the related case of Mueller v. Mena. Bailey argues there are only two significant justifications for detaining occupants of a home during the execution of a search. Summers identified three interests, but says Bailey only two are significant. First and most important, that detention minimizes the risk of harm to officers. If the person is wandering about, he or she might naturally become very aggravated under the circumstances and might attack one of the officers focused on completing the task at hand. Two, that detention facilitates the orderly completion of the search. If the person is wandering about, he or she might get in the way of looking at certain items or in certain locations, might seek to hide items, and more generally seek to distract officers. Critically, neither of these justifications are relevant when the person is gone, perhaps at work or eating lunch across town. So, says Bailey, there was no justification for detaining me, as opposed to simply letting me leave before any of this got underway. Sure, it would be more convenient for police to have me around in case there develops probable cause for my arrest, the third Summers interest of, quote, preventing flight, but the Fourth Amendment does not, in Bailey's words, quote, authorize anticipatory arrests based on officer convenience. Finally, this was a greater intrusion than in Summers because Bailey was not merely detained where found, but instead was transported back to the scene, handcuffed in the backseat of a police cruiser, which feels much more like and has the public stigma of an arrest. Two circuits, the 8th and 10th, have agreed with Bailey. The United States, which is the respondent, since Bailey was prosecuted in federal court, is of course also very ably represented, although I think some of its briefing arguments are too clever by half and thus played no role during the oral argument. I'll put those to the side. To the United States, the Summers justifications are implicated. When an occupant has just left the home, he or she might shortly return, either in the natural course because an errand is completed, or because he or she is tipped off by a neighbor or friend regarding the beginning of the search. Certainly it's much safer if the police have detained the person on the front end rather than having to face a potentially armed and angry individual later. Second, if the person is detained, he or she can assist in locating items or unlocking doors, which prevents unnecessary destruction. And third, if the person is detained, he or she can immediately be arrested once probable cause is established. Three circuits, the 5th, 6th, and 7th, have permitted such detention. As for the safety rationale, Bailey questions its logic and its empirics. The government couldn't locate a single instance in which someone left immediately prior to a search and then returned to violently disrupt that search, although it was able to come up with a handful of cases in which police were harmed by persons otherwise arriving on the scene during the execution of a search. Justice Scalia in particular termed the government's proffered circumstance very unusual and so implausible. A problem for the government is that its argument would prove too much, because there's no reason a person who left immediately prior to a search's execution is any more likely to violently disrupt that search than someone who had left long before. So by the government's argument, police should be able to detain someone who is peacefully working a long shift across town, because otherwise that person, tipped off by a neighbor's text message, might race to the scene. Indeed, such a detention would similarly further the other two proffered interests of assisting during the search and preventing ultimate flight. But surely Summers was never meant to create such a broad rule, and at oral argument the government conceded it was not seeking any such rule, at least in this case. The bottom line is that both sides draw blood, and this is because the Summers rule has always been both over-inclusive, detaining some persons who surely pose zero risk and who do not assist the search, and under-inclusive, failing to detain others who do pose a risk and who could assist the search. Since it isn't logical in every case, but rather just a convenient bright line, deciding whether or not to extend the rule just a bit has no obviously right answer. So what do I predict? Well, the court has considerable new personnel since Summers, Mena and Rattell, and certainly not all the justices clearly tip their hand in arguments. But I'll take a chance, though not much of a chance, and predict the court will rule the way I believe it should rule. Police are already legally equipped to act when the safety of themselves or others is at stake, or when they have individualized reasonable suspicion, and this will take care of most all of these instances. Indeed, as some of the justices pushed, it might have taken care of this very case. So I'd say the correct holding is in favor of Petitioner Bailey. As Justice Kagan observed at oral argument, quote, before, meaning in Summers, you're dealing with a problem of a person on the premises while you're trying to search the premises. And now you're talking about a person who is going to work, leaving the premises, letting you search the premises without any interference, close quote. That strikes me as a meaningful difference and a determinative one, given that we already have Fourth Amendment rules to deal with suspicion and danger. Of course, even bright-line rules are never so bright on the margins, and there will remain an issue of what it means for a person to be within the immediate vicinity of a home upon a search warrant's execution, such that he or she can be detained under the categorical Summers rule. The justices worried about this at argument, and Justice Scalia seemed to help Bailey's counsel focus on the critical dimension being measured from the home itself, probably whether the person was within its curtilage, or at least within eyesight of that curtilage, as opposed to being measured from the property line. Outside that zone, ordinary Fourth Amendment individualized suspicion principles should apply. And in the future, there will be other lingering questions. For how long can police detain an occupant? A reasonable period would encompass most searches, but surely not an extensive search that lasts 2 days. Can police really detain for the duration a neighbor who just stopped by to drop off some misdelivered mail or a pizza delivery guy? What seem like bright-line rules always tend to blur into standards at the edges. That's just the nature of things.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.